ways that could not have been anticipated, in ways that certainly caught people off guard, and in ways that transformed folks who were terrified, who were hiding out behind a locked door in the middle of a city that had just 50 days before crucified Jesus. And this inflowing of the Spirit fills these folks with courage, and they go out into the square and they start proclaiming good news. They all start proclaiming good news. Did you hear that? They all start proclaiming good news. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So this morning, we are the preachers. All of us are the preachers. We are the proclaimers of the mighty acts of God, as it said in the middle of the text. So I want to invite you into what may be an unexpected, unanticipated, perhaps uncomfortable space, but a space of expectation that the Holy Spirit continues to do what we read of the Holy Spirit doing in Acts 2, of filling the people of God with a word from God. When I think about us as proclaimers, I would encourage you to think in three categories. One, that we're proclaiming the mighty deeds of God. Two, that we're declaring the promises of God. Or three, that we are exhorting the people of God. Are you with me on that? We're proclaiming the mighty acts of God, we're declaring the promises of God, or we are exhorting the people of God. So in a moment, I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. I'm going to invite you to be still and to invite the Lord to give you a word if it is the desire of the Lord to give you a word. And then I'm going to invite you to be so bold as to share that word with us. And we'll read through the text in sections again, and we'll have a prompt question for each section of the text. And I would encourage you to speak boldly and humbly. And I'll just tell you for me what that looks like is saying, I sense the Spirit saying. I would rarely say, thus says the Lord. I'm going to let the community discern with me whether or not I've heard rightly from the Spirit. And so I submit it as I sense the Spirit saying. And so maybe you would feel okay opening your statements that way. But let me say a prayer for us, and then we will read through the text together. We'll pray for the Spirit to give us a word, and then we're going to preach. You with me? Okay, let's pray. Living Spirit of God, we invite you to blow through this church now. Might you light upon us and set us ablaze. Might you fill our mouths with your words. Might you open all of our ears and our hearts to hear exactly what you would speak to us in our own language, in the way that we can hear it and receive it. Holy Spirit, only you can do that. Give us discernment of your voice. For those who sense you speaking and also feel fear, Lord, I pray that they would hear you speaking, fear not, I am with you. Lord, as a community, would you give us wisdom to discern what we sense you saying? Llénanos, Lord. Llénanos, Señor. Con tu presencia, con tu poder, con tus palabras, with your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin just in silence, reading this first section of the text. Our first prompt is this: in what ways do you sense the Lord calling Citywell to be a community that proclaims the gospel in word and in deed by the power of the Holy Spirit? In what ways do you sense the Lord calling Citywell to be a community that proclaims the gospel in word and deed by the power of the Holy Spirit? We'll take a few moments to be still. I invite you to ask the Spirit to give you a word. As you discern that, if you raise your hand, we'll bring you a microphone, and we would ask that you just say your name. Please be as brief as you can be to make room and space for other people to speak also.
Citywell is called to be a community that proclaims the gospel in word and deed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Word is not just in word by speaking, but word was made flesh and came and walked among us. And so word here is also action. And so deed is just repetitive. And now Spirit is also, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to me is also not repetitive, but an abundance of anointing. Because we are reminded today by the Psalms that without God's breath and continual breath, we are just dust. And so we are called to continue to breathe in and out the Spirit that God continues to breathe in and out upon us.
Yes.
And we are called to be in action as Jesus was in action. And to receive this anointing, this abundance of the Spirit, this renewal of the Spirit, just like Jesus received the Spirit in his baptism, and as we are going to see the baptism of many others, and as we are receiving the renewal of the anointing, just before his mission, we will receive it in our mission to the community.
Thank you, Corey. Is there another?
My name is Dick Wolf. The tongues of flame were divided. They were distributed to individuals. And as they were distributed, different languages came up from these individuals. And yet, every language was speaking the same message. They were unified, but they were not uniform. They were able to be different and yet praising the same maker. And I think the more that Citywell can manifest that, it'll be such a great voice to this community. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do.
Yesterday in London, lots of police and were killed, and this guy just dove in a country, and like something happened. They were like, a knife stabbed one of the people in London restaurant. They had to call an ambulance, police, fire department, and they had to evacuate the people from their homes and the hotels. And they were shot and stabbed by a gunfire. And like Tony, the restaurant employee, so Jack heard the gunfire.
What's your name?
Weston Dahl.
Weston.
Yeah.
Thank you, Weston.
Please pray. Weston, you're exactly right. In a world of violence, for us to proclaim gospel in word and in deed means to refuse to be violent. It means to pray even for our enemies. It means to pray even for those who do great harm. Weston, we'll take your invitation to pray, and we'll do that now. Do you want? Would you like to pray, or would you like me to pray, Weston? You want to pray? Okay.
please be with the people who got killed and pray for my mom and dad. Amen.
Thank you, Esther. Is there another to proclaim the mighty acts of God, to declare the promises of God, or to exhort the people of God?
Here comes the true answer for that question. And here it comes. From all around the world, with a lot of chaos and chaotic, it's like we're facing like hell. Hell is not heaven. Hell is like flame. So it's like this candle is burning right over here. Like I'm standing right now. But actually, this candle is not hell. This is the symbol of heaven. Because it's the symbol of hope. Hell is not heaven. Because hell is under our feet. And heaven is above our heads. In this bucket beside me on my right. It's a sign of praising. Because the towels are right here for drying ourselves off. Because I experienced movies before like this. John the Baptist was in the Jordan River, baptizing everyone, just said, like, God will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with water and fire. And one who's coming after me is greater than I am. I cannot tie his sandals. It's because John saw his cousin coming and knelt on his right over here and said, I shall be baptized by you, and you coming to me. It's because John was kind of shivering because he was kind of nervous. Because Jesus has no sin. So John had baptized him. And when Jesus got into the water, and suddenly the heavens whipped off and the light came, and the voice said from heaven, this is my beloved son, whom I love, whom I well pleased. That's the Lord of the world. To the Lord of the world and the people of the world, peace to God, King of kings, Lord of lords, and even our worship, it needs to be a lot more energetic. But it really looks like it, but I don't actually see people jumping with joy. It's like saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. I don't see that. We got to do it.
Let's take a moment to read the next part of the passage together and invite the Lord to speak. Friends, what might it look like at CityWell for the Spirit to move in such a way that creates unity and yet honors and preserves the God-given differences between us? What might it look like for the Spirit to move in our midst in a way that creates deep unity and yet preserves and honors the God-given differences between us? Yeah, I bet a lot of people are asking that question. It'll be just a little while after the baptisms.
Hi, my name is Judy. Every week I teach English to people who speak many other languages, sometimes multiple other languages. And they, after working several jobs, come in the evening and sit and want to listen to someone who can speak a language that they want to learn how to speak. And in their spirit of openness and tireless energy to learn our language, I see a way that I think we can be, because I think each person has not only the language that they speak, be it English or Spanish or whatever, but we each have a personal language. And so one way that I think we can create unity and still preserve differences is if each of us resolves to be still and to listen to other people tell us things in their own language, even other people who are speaking English to us can explain who they are in a language that in some ways is unfamiliar because it's not our language. But we're all so eager to speak that we don't be still and listen. So I think that's one way in any diverse community that we can live out the ways of God and be the people of God.
Is there another?
I said, well, I'm Sam. I think this mic is turned on. Okay. I'm an introvert, more introspective. I actually not that comfortable standing up and speaking. I'm a little more tired than I usually am because I was doing a bunch of yard work yesterday for pretty much the whole day, and that's probably more physical activity than I usually get, sadly. The reason why I say all this is because I really do feel like God or the Spirit, and I think it's great that I sense that the Spirit is moving in this body, and as I look around this room, it's actually quite an astonishing thing, you know, and I... It's like, how did this happen? Like, look around. And you see the collection of people here. And the only explanation is that the Spirit is moving here and has prompted us to speak and for me to speak today, even if I'm tired. And that's, I think, because it's not of me. And I do sense that a lot, that there is this other, and this other is the Spirit that moves in us and prompts us to do things that we can't do ourselves. It's not in us to do these things. It's not in us to come here and actually be together and really actually speak different languages, but actually understand each other. Because even though we're speaking English now, really, all of us actually, you know, we have our own language. You know, as an Asian person or a Korean person, it's like it's much easier to move in communities of Korean people because you understand the social cues, you understand the language, you understand all these kind of subtle things that are our own language. And yet, we all have those things, but we all choose to be here in this community and speak all these different languages, and yet understand the language that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So I really feel the Spirit moving, and every time I sit down, and I walked into church today, and I was tired, and I was like, God, I don't feel connected. But then as we started reflecting, I felt the Spirit moving, and I was like, this is not of me. And when the Spirit speaks, He says, love this church, love the people around you. You know, not because it's in you, but because I give you that. And I'll give you the ability to love yes. people that don't speak the same language. Yes. I'll give you the ability to love all these different faces and people yes. In this body and in our community. So, thank you.
This is a pretty tough question, actually. I know that because I just finished writing a book about it. It's 750 pages long, and you'll know when it's published because I'll bring along little forms for you to fill out to get cheap copies. One of the things I learned after writing 750 pages is when we get into the navigation of differences as Christians and into the navigation of causes and goals and objectives, what I call the what, we sometimes take our eyes off the how. And God is tremendously interested in the how we navigate our differences, because God is a relational God. And we discredit our navigation of the what if we jettison the how. In some cases, I think the how is more important than the what. In other words, deep down, are we moving forward in a way that is loving and kind and gentle and patient and trusting and faithful and self-controlled? Because if we aren't, we're discrediting the heart of our message. Which is not to say the what's not important. The what we are going to do is very important, but the how is tremendously important as well. So you don't need to buy the book now, unfortunately. That's it. Yeah.
Amen. Is there another?
So as I'm hearing this, I'm thinking about how I've lived in 5 countries, always with different accent and sometimes different languages. And within those countries, every time I've had to make a new community and survive and start all over again, we've found a church community who don't know us and don't understand us, don't get any of our social cues or any of our humor. It's awkward. But the glue is the Holy Spirit and the fact that within that community, their interest and longing and keenness to be relational with us has been our survival, and is a beautiful thing. And without that, when I think of all those different places, I would have been so much more lost and so much more broken than I already was. So I think that the Spirit is the glue between us all, drawing us together and granting us the curiosity to listen and granting us the compassion to hear properly is a beautiful thing. And I definitely see that here in CityWell, and I experience that all the time with all of you and love it very much.
Thanks be to God. Let's take a moment to read the next part of the passage. Everyone was amazed and perplexed. Some sought understanding, and others sneered. The way that this people, filled with the Spirit, was engaging the community left some seeking understanding and some sneering. What are the ways in which the Spirit might be leading CityWell to live as a community that might cause some to seek understanding and others to sneer?
Hi, I'm Dave. I am currently working with the Neighborhood Association here to help do something with our outdoor space. And to be quite frank, I've been really struggling with it. Mostly just because I'm the Neighborhood Association, not the neighborhood, but the Neighborhood Association would rather not be working with us if we look deep down. So it's hard to work with that partner. And so I was sitting there, you know, I was reading this scripture, and I was even praying about this last night, and this question just it's literally the perfect question, because we're trying to create something that's awesome and beautiful and bringing people together. And there are a lot of people in the neighborhood and even within the neighborhood association who we're working with that are super excited about it and really want to be jump on board. And then there are other people who just, anything that we throw out there, it's a fight. And I think it just hit it perfectly what I'm kind of going through right now with that process. So.
Are there others?
Hey, my name is Erin. So what I love about, so I'm in the process of ordination within the United Methodist Church, and Citywell is a five-year-old church plant of that particular expression of Christianity. So what I love is every time I run into other folks in our denominational family, a lot about our life here perplexes people. So things like, so Cleve and Gloria, like, do they, like, alternate preaching? Like, every other, just one, them. And I was like, oh, no, we actually have 12 to 15 preachers, and we really rotate because we believe that God can speak through so many people. And like on Pentecost, when the congregation preaches. And it's either kind of a, huh, yeah, I know, that's really weird. Or it's a, wow, that's really beautiful. I wish that my congregation felt sort of empowered and they asked deeper questions. The same thing with, we worship in Spanish. And they say, oh, so you're bilingual, like you completely speak Spanish. Well, no, actually, I don't. But I go to a church that tries to be faithful and welcoming to our neighborhood, which is predominantly Latino. And this is just a part of who we are, because we envision a heaven in which anyone can walk into a church and have translation if they need it. And so all of those ways have just been a gift in our preaching, in the ways we engage race in authentic and courageously powerful ways. The ways in which when we do harm one another with words from our mouth, I think what's impressed me with Cleve and with Gloria is we stay at the table more than any other church I've ever been at, even when it's hard, even when the conversation is difficult and honest, we stay at the table, and that is just perplexing to people and deeply amazing if they stay and listen long enough.
The language of this church from the beginning has been captured under the language of Ephesians 2, where it says that Jesus has torn down every dividing wall of hostility. And I believe that God is continually calling us into that. Currently in our denomination, as well as in so many others, the dominant wall of hostility is around human sexuality. And I believe that God is calling us to be a congregation that presses hard into that conversation and stays at the table. And hears from one another in our differences and stays at the table and honors one another as being filled with the Spirit and stays at the table and recognizes that no matter what we have thought or believed or how deeply convicted we are, we might be wrong and stays at the table. The Holy Spirit makes a unity possible where very few churches find unity possible, and I believe God is calling us there in that conversation.
Hey, everybody. My name is Devin. My hope, and I hope that this is the Spirit speaking, the way of life that God is calling his people into is to be a people that are the type of red-letter Christians who look at the life of Jesus as an example to live, who are willing to take every individual piece of their life and question why that's that way. The last year has been a journey for me, taking, for example, housing, looking at where do I live, why do I live there, why does God have me there, or does he not have me there? Job, why am I there? Is this really where God has called me to be? Relationships, why am I there? What is God wanting me to do? And really questioning the ways in which we form our lives and the lives that we're building, because we're all building something. You're all working to make money, to build for retirement, to build for a better life for you, for your family, for whatever. But to take those things open-handedly to Christ and say, is what I'm building really what you're wanting to build? And does my building look like the kingdom that you're building? So I hope that the Spirit is calling Citywell and the individual pieces of the body here to take our lives open-handedly before him and to ask, what are we building? And why does the building look like that? And are there things in our lives that we should be building differently?
Amen. Amen. Let's take a few moments to read the next part of the passage. Our last question this morning is, how might Citywell take seriously that God pours a Spirit out on all flesh and empowers people of every social location to participate in the proclamation of Jesus, and we might say the building of the kingdom? What's it look like for us as a church family to take that seriously?
Hi, everyone. My name's Jesse. I think there are already ways in which we witness today how we take that seriously. It means a lot to me to really allow and encourage everyone in the room to speak. It means a lot that we started today's service led by our children. It means a lot to me as someone that has grown up in church and in many ways can, like, check the boxes on, like, being qualified to have the microphone or the lead. The fact that I'm Black or the fact that I'm queer can be something that people say, oh, that's worth disqualifying. And yet, in being able to offer all of who I am, all of what God has done and is doing, that is received here and taken seriously here. So that means a lot. I'd add, in my experience of Citywell, often people who worship here are not entirely new to church. This isn't like the first time they've ever been to church. It's often I've found that they were in church for a period of time. Something bad happened. either personally, they witnessed it, for some reason they just decided church isn't for me. And then they have heard about City Will or come to City Will or know someone who worships there. And the Holy Spirit moves mightily. I've also seen this be a somewhat transient space where people come for a period of time, whether it's they're in school or they have a new job or they're with family or what have you. And we try to really create a space where even though you're not like all the way in for whatever reason, you're just here for a short season, that folks would feel welcome in that. And I think considering those two particular qualities as being ones where you might feel disqualified, like, oh, I'm not really here. I don't really need to participate. No. God has brought you here for a reason, and it may only be for one service, but I can think of so many times where, like, someone I have never seen except the one time they came, they said something that changed how we worshiped, or how people who time and time again have been pushed out of church, who have felt isolated, felt harmed, come back, and they say, this is the church that I prayed for. This is the church that is seeking to live in a way that is different than what I experienced prior. And that, to me, really embodies how we create space, how we really empower everyone in the room, for whatever reason, to be free in their worship and to name sometimes in experience, but also in faith, believing that what isn't can be, or that what might seem to not be actually is and will be. I think that is so important to be able to be able to speak into what seems like nothing, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, create something that happens here, and it happens across every line that we might say, oh, that disqualifies you. And I think that is just so meaningful, and I continue to see it time and time again. And I hope that you see that today, and if you continue worshiping with us, that you'll continue to see that happen across any and every line.
Friends, I'm going to close this in prayer. Just a quick note to any who have children in the nursery. We're about to baptize some folks, and we've got a little bit of a commitment together as a family that we want all of our kids here for every baptism we have, and so we want to encourage you in the next moment or so to head to the nursery and grab your kids. Our city kids are going to be coming up. We want our children to be a part of the celebration of baptism. Would you join me in prayer? Holy God, God who breathes the Spirit over the void of creation and creates all that is, God who breathes the Spirit into the prophets, that the word of God might come forth. God who fills Jesus with the Spirit and says, my son with whom I'm well pleased. God who through Jesus breathes the Spirit on disciples and sets us on fire. Come, O God, pour your Spirit out upon us, that we may walk as your people, filled with your power, your presence, your love, that we may bear faithful witness to who you are, that we may proclaim your mighty deeds and declare your promises and exhort your people and be able to hear one another in our own language. May it be, O God, that the words spoken over us today would come to fruition in accordance with your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who are to be baptized today, would you please come forward? Y'all, this is Micaiah Okonkwo and Savaya Carroll. Come on up. This is Erica Bellamy. Devontae, you want to come up? Devontae is going to be remembering his baptism and celebrating God's goodness in his life today. Hey, brother. And where is sweet Joyana Little? They're getting there. Well, we got all the time in the world. We can wait. We believe in a Holy Spirit who gives our butts endurance, right? We can wait. Well, let me say these words. Oh, here she comes, y'all. Joy. This is Joy Anastasia Little, also known as Joyana. We welcome you. Here you go, guys. Y'all, baptism is about a whole lot of things that we could explore the depths of for a long, long time, but I'll just say a simple thing about it this morning. We believe baptism is a gift that God gives us through the church. First and foremost, baptism is something that the Lord is doing, where the Lord is declaring what is true over us, where the Lord is saying your identity is wrapped up in my embrace of you, that you belong to me, you are my beloved child. And so we get to receive the gift of baptism. That's why nobody gets to baptize themselves, y'all. It is a gift that we receive because it is God saying, you're mine. This morning, we get to declare that story over Micaiah, over Erica, over Savaya, over Joyana, and we get to remember for all of us who have been baptized that this is the story that has been proclaimed over us. It is the story that gives meaning and truth to all of our lives. So friends, I want to ask you guys some questions, but before we do that, we're going to sing a song of blessing over you. Friends, in the congregation, we sing this song as a prayer. This song is called, why am I forgetting the name of this song? That's it, Ven Espiritu Ven. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And so I want to invite you to reach your hands out as a sign of blessing over these folks as we sing this song together, that we pray that the Lord would fill them, would purify them, would wash them, would make them new.